So we begin Be'ez Hashem part 21 of our Tfilah Vaad series. We're going to learn Be'ez Hashem tonight the brachas Re'eva Onyenu, the seventh bracha, and Emet Hashem Refoenu, the eighth bracha of Shemona Esra. Chazal tell us, this is a Gemara in Megillah, in Daf Yud Zayin Amud Beis, that why is the bracha of Re'eva Onyenu, which concludes with the words Baruch Atah Hashem Goyel Yisrael, why is that the seventh bracha of Shemona Esra? So the Gemara tells us, because Klal Yisrael and Yitz Hashem will be redeemed in the seventh. What does that mean, they'll be redeemed in the seventh? This is a reference to the seventh of the Shemitah years. As we know, Chazal tell us there is a very strong connection between Shemitah and the coming of the Mashiach. Because the Geula will come about in the seventh year, so too the Brocha that talks about the Geula is also the seventh Brocha in the Shemona Esra. Which is a little bit strange, because it would seem to imply that the subject in this Brocha, when we talk about Goel Yisrael, is the eventual Geula, the coming of Mashiach. In fact, it isn't. The brachas that talk about Mashiach and the Geula are much later on in the Shemona Esra. It's Kav v'Shofar, Tzemach David, v'Yerushalayim Ircha. Rashi there in the Gemara discusses this, and Rashi says it's true. The subject of this bracha is actually not the eventual Geula, the coming of Mashiach. The subject of this bracha, as Rashi puts it, is a different form of Geula. This is a daily, a constant geula min hatzorais habois olenu tomit. This is the request that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should save us, should redeem us from constant tzorais, and not necessarily the golos that we find ourselves in, for which the geula is the coming of the Mashiach. Nonetheless, because we do find an association between Geula in general and the number 7 with regard to Shemitah, that's why this form of Geula also, although not actually discussing the coming of Mashiach, is also placed 7th in the Shemona Esra. So either way, we see from Rashi, it's very important to know, that we're not discussing the Golus that we find ourselves in. That's not the subject of this bracha. Rather, as Rashi puts it, this bracha talks about the tzorais habois olenu tomit. The difficulties that every single one of us, without fail, encounters from time to time, or as Rashi actually puts it, tomit, on a frequent basis. Every person has what's called their pekel. Pekel in Yiddish is their package, is their whole file. You know, the story is told that, you know, when they have an oifruf for a chosan, so they throw candies, or in some places they throw more than that. They throw a little bag, not just a single toffee, they throw what's called a pekel. They throw a pekel. So the story is told that there was a chosan in the Beis HaMedrash of the Satmar Rebbe, Zichrono Livracha. And as we all know, there was this mad scrambling, all the kids trying to get hold of their candies and their peklach. And whilst there's always the big, tough, strong kid who seems to conquer all before him, you had the small kid who didn't have any. And he bursts into tears, he's left empty-handed. And the Rebbe spotted him. And the Rebbe calls his Gabbai and says, "Tell me, go over to that child, find out, why is he crying?" So the Gabbai comes back to the Rebbe and said, "The boy's crying because he said he didn't get a peckle." So the Rebbe says, half smiling, "Oh, tell him, he'll become older, he'll get a peckle. He'll become older and have his peckle." So everybody has their peckle, and the geula that we're discussing in this bracha is, as it were, the geula from that peckle. Now, why is there a juxtapositioning? We have just learned the brachas last week of tshuva and slicha, so is there any connection between the two? So on a simple level, the connection between the two is, because it's only after we have now been zeicher to be chayzer b'tshuva in the fifth bracha, and to be forgiven by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Slicha and Mechila, in the sixth bracha, now we are, as it were, entitled to ask for our own personal bakoshes. But as long as we are riddled with our aveira, then who are we to ask for our own personal needs? So therefore this is the follow-on. Having asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu for Siyata Dishmaya to be Chayza B'tshuva, and for him to grant us a Slicha U'mechila, now we move on and we ask for our own personal requests. But there is an alternative understanding. Why is there a juxtapositioning between these brachas? And this is to be found in the Pirush Eitz Yosef on the Siddur. And he explains, because part and parcel of the process of tshuva and being worthy recipients of a slicha and a mechila from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, part of that is in fact that very pekel that all of us inevitably have. The yesurim, the tzoros that we encounter in our day-to-day lives, that is part of the slicha process. As Chazal tell us, that when a person has yesurim, that can very often bring about an atonement. If life is all too easy, and one just moves along swimmingly, it's all too good to be true. But when a person is privy to Yisurim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends him Yisurim, then those Yisurim act as a Mechila. They cleanse the slate, as it were, and that's why there is a close connection between the two. Now this, of course, is a very delicate balance, because on the one hand, we all hope and we daven that we should not be subjected to Yisurim. However, in the final analysis, the truth of the matter is that when a person, whether he wanted them or not, but when a person does have to undergo Yisurim, those can act as a kapara for him. Those can act as a kapara for him. Because if he's suffered in this world, then ultimately he'll have to suffer less in the world to come. You know, not so long ago, I encountered the following story. There was somebody here in Ramat Beit Shemesh Gimel whose grandfather passed away. An elderly war survivor, he was in Auschwitz. His grandfather passed away and the Levaya came here to Eretz Yisrael. This person's mother, who was the daughter of the one who just passed away, sat Shiva here in Eretz Yisrael. I know the family, I went to the Shiva. And she says to me, I can't speak to you now, I'm just sitting Shiva. But when I finish the Shiva, there's something I need to discuss with you very urgently. Very urgently. After the Shiva, she came to my house and she said, I have a very, very difficult question that's been gnawing at me for years and years. And now, with the passing of my father, it's really come to a head. And she said, my father suffered so much during the Second World War, in a physical way, in an emotional way, and he was able somehow to survive and build and rebuild his family after the war. He went to the United States of America, and he was Moisa Nefesh, literally, for the sake of Torah or mitzvahs, and yet he suffered continuously in all different ways. And she said, the last few years of his life, he suffered terrible pain. Until his very last day, he continuously seemed to suffer. And she says, I can't understand this. I can't understand. Why did my father have to suffer so much? After all he went through during the Second World War, he suffered then so much. And whilst others around him were not strong enough to be able to survive spiritually, my father did. And he was Shema Torah Mitzvahs, as are all his children. Why then did he need to suffer more and more? Wasn't it enough during those Second World War years? That's the very difficult question that she asked me at the time. Obviously, a question like that cannot really be answered head on. It's not for us to explain the Yad Hashem. Why it was that HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided that this particular person needed this amount of suffering, we leave those cheshbonos to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But nonetheless, clearly she was in need of chizuk. I spoke to one of my rebbeim, as you all well know, Rav Davidovich from Ramah Aleph. And he told me, he said, obviously, whilst this question is terribly painful for the daughter of this nifter, it's perhaps not the correct moment to talk to her. She's perhaps not able at the moment to absorb any answer. But ultimately, in the final analysis, what you have to know is, he said, without explaining the Yad Hashem, the bottom line is that when her father comes to the Olam Haba and will, as it were, see the video of his life being replayed, he said to me, do you know what he will ask you, Rabbeinu Shel Olam? Why did you only give me those Yisurim? If you only would have given me more, I would have had a better time in Olam Haba. So again, whilst we daven that we should not be subjected to Yisurim, we might not be physically up to it or emotionally up to it. But we have to know that those Yisurim, Chazal tell us, bring about a kapara. They mean that we'll have to suffer ultimately in the long term less. And that therefore can be an explanation of the juxtapositioning between these two brachas. Slach lanu, hashiveinu. But ultimately we always have these Yisurim as well. Re'eva onyenu, see all of our suffering. Make sure, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that we are indeed able to cope and bear with that suffering so that it does indeed bring about a kapara, but it shouldn't break us, chas v'shalom. When we say re'eva onyenu, v'riva riveinu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, see our suffering and fight our fight. What does that mean, v'riva riveinu? Well, would you believe it, this is all about this week's parasha. Because we all know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu that they should seek vengeance, nekoim, nikmas, v'nei Yisrael, from the Midianim. So the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu issues the instruction is seek the vengeance of Klal Yisrael. And when Moshe Rabbeinu relays that instruction to the Klal Yisrael, he says, we have to deliver Nikmas Hashem. It's no longer called the vengeance of Klal Yisrael, it's now called the vengeance of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So which one is it? Are we seeking vengeance from the Midianim on behalf of Klal Yisrael or on behalf of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Says Rashi, Sheha'oimed Keneged Yisrael. Anybody who stands up to fight against Klal Yisrael, Oimed Keneged HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's all the same thing. We are, as the Jewish nation, the representatives in this world of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And ultimately, therefore, any challenge against Klal Yisrael is, as it were, a not-so-well-concealed challenge against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's what it means. V'riva riveinu, fight our fight. Why should HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as it were, fight our fight? Because our fight is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's fight. And that's the way we continue this bracha, Goleinu Meheira Leman Shemecha. When there is an attack against Klal Yisrael, that is a Chilul Hashem. Why is that a Chilul Hashem? That might be a Chilul of Bnei Yisrael. No, it's the same thing. If the prince is attacked, then that is an affront on the honor of the king, even if the king wasn't himself physically attacked. V'riva riveinu, we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we are at all times being subjected to persecution and battle by our surrounding neighbors, by goyim all around the world, and we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that ultimately is our fight. It's also your fight. Ugo'olenu mehera leman shemecha. I think in all countries of the world, here particularly in Eretz Yisrael, we can associate with this in a very real way. When Chazal tell us that Klal Yisrael is the feeble sheep surrounded by the 70 wolves, anybody who lives here in Eretz Yisrael knows what that means. When we have the cannons and the guns pointing at us in all directions from the surrounding goyim, who are would do anything to throw us into the sea, in their own words, we are that kibso achas bein shivim zakenim. And their intention by doing battle against Klal Yisrael is ultimately to do battle kaviyochol against the Ribbono Shel Olam. And that's why we have the right to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu the Riva Rivenu. And indeed HaKadosh Baruch Hu does so. I believe it's well known, we've mentioned it many times in other forums, that Rabbi Yaakov Emden wrote, Rabbi Yaakov Emden, in his introduction to his commentary to the Siddur, said, as far as I'm concerned, and these are his words, greater than any nace that has happened in the history of Klal Yisrael, whether it be the Esem Makos, or Yetzias Mitzrayim, or Kriyas Yamsuf, greater than all of those miracles is the survival of Klal Yisrael against all the odds. The fact that we're still here to tell the story is the greatest nace. That is a kiyum of this tefillah, the Riva Riveinu. We beseech HaKadosh Baruch Hu, fight our fight. Ensure that our enemies don't get the better of us. And of course, this has to be understood across the world. But again, here, those living in Eretz Yisrael can relate to this in a very real way. It's not only a reference to the physical battle that's being waged against Klal Yisrael. Here in Eretz Yisrael, where you see the spiritual battle, perhaps across the world, but even more so in Eretz Yisrael, it's so painful because it's by those who should really know better. The constant, never-ending battle against the yeshivas, against the kollelim, against all Haredi way of life here in Eretz Yisrael is so blatant and obvious. All of that is part of the Chilul Hashem that we are asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu, V'riva Riveinu, fight our fight. Ensure that those who want to bring down the Olam HaTorah will never be successful. Ensure that those who want to limit Jewish education in the way that we have seen from our previous generations, ensure that they are not successful. V'riva Riveinu, V'riva Riveinu. Eventually we finish the bracha and we say, Ki goel chozok oto. You, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, are the tremendous Redeemer. Goel is in the present tense. It's in the present tense. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is constantly being goel us, all of the time, on occasion, in fact, without us knowing. We only, just 2 weeks ago, learned the parasha of Bilam and Balak. The Chasam Sofer in a tshuva points out the most remarkable observation. The story with Bilam and Balak is the only event in the entire Torah where no Jew was privy to the story. Nobody saw what happened between Balak and Bilam except for Bilam's donkey. No Jew was there at the time. So how do we know it happened? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu writes it in the Torah. Every other event that happened in the Torah was witnessed by at least one Jew, if not thousands of Jews, if not the entire nation of Klal Yisrael. And the Mefarshim point out, what's really being taught to us is that indeed, there are so many Bilam and Balak stories happening all of the time that we also are not privy to. And we have no idea, sometimes until after the event, and sometimes we never know ever. And that's what it means. Ki goel chozak, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is constantly being redeemed us. It's not only the front page headlines that we sometimes read about and we say, what a remarkable nace HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought about. It's all of the headlines that we will never read about. That's what's being hinted to in Ki goel chozak otos. Therefore, that really is the essence of this bracha. Number one, re'eva onyenu, our own personal tzoros. Not just the fact that we're in golos, but the personal, our own peckle that all of us have in our day-to-day lives, but then also on a national level, re'eva onyenu v'riva riveinu. Fight our fight, because our fight is very much your fight, l'man shemecha. And indeed, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is being goel in the present tense, all of us, all of the time, and that is as a result of this particular tefillah. We move over to the eighth bracha, Rafa'enu Hashem. So once again, Chazal talk about why is it that this particular bracha finds its place in the Shemoneh Esrei exactly over here as the eighth bracha. So the Gemara in Megillah tells us because the number eight has a different significance as well. And what is that? The Bris Milah. Bris Milah takes place on the eighth day. When a child undergoes Bris Milah, he needs a refuah. And if he needs a refuah from that particular procedure that took place on the eighth day, well, that's why the bracha that talks about refuah is placed eighth in the Shemoneh Esrei. It seems a little bit strange. It seems a little bit strange because, after all, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the refuah that we are asking from him is not just please heal all those children who have undergone Bris Milah. It might include that as well, but why would that be a particular reason for the bracha to be placed eight? Because Milah happens to be eight. So some explain on a very simple level, because ultimately Bris Milah is taking place every day, and it really is in some degree Lamalo Me'ateva. The child undergoes his operation with no form of anesthetic whatsoever. It's not taking place in an operating theatre or by a surgeon. That we see the hashkacha of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Reife on a daily basis, literally when it comes to Milah. But I saw a different explanation. I saw this in the Sefer Sifsei Chaim, the great Ponovitch and Mashkiach of Chaim Freelander, one of the prime Talmidim of Rav Dessler. And he says as follows, and this is a very important Yesoid, because I believe it will explain for us also the continuation of this bracha. We have to understand, the Gemara tells us that when a person becomes ill, ultimately that is as a result of Averis. Ein Yisurim Beloy Ovoy. So surely, I know there are a few doctors who are with us this evening, we don't mean to put you out of business, but ultimately, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings about an illness as a result of an Avera, the way to heal is not to run to the doctor. The way to become healed is obviously to be Chayza B'Tshuva. And that's the way it always used to be. The Ramban writes in Parashat Bechukosai, it used to be that if a person became ill, he would not run to the doctor. Do you know who he would run to? He would run to the Novi. And he would ask the Novi, he would say, tell me, why is this particular illness struck me? And the Novi would be able to interpret, what is it that happened? Which part of your goof has been affected? And he would explain exactly why this has come about, what it is you need to be chayza b'tshuva in, and indeed that way you would get healed. So much so, that the Ramban issues this famous line in Parashas Bechukosai, what is the place for a doctor in the home of an Oisei Ritzoyin Hashem? He doesn't need a doctor, he needs a Novi. However, Chazal tell us, we learn it from a pasuk, Nitan Rishus L'Roifei L'Rapos. Ultimately, there is a special pasuk in the Torah that teaches us that you are allowed to go to a doctor. A tremendous chiddush. I would have thought that you shouldn't be allowed to go to a doctor. Rather, when a person becomes sick, he should go to the Novi, and that's all it is. It's a special heta, however, to go to the doctor. So Rav Chaim Freelander therefore explains, we don't want to make the main stress of this bracha that talks about refuah, we don't want to make the stress a regular, normal illness. Why not? Because ultimately the refuah there is in our hands, as it were, because we would go to the Novi, or we would make an issue of introspection and be chayza b'tshuva. The only machala, the only sickness that we're happy to make reference to, is the one that does not come about through Avera. And which one is that? That is Bris Milah. Bris Milah, the child becomes sick, as in pain, not as a result of the Aveira, to the contrary, as a result of the mitzvah. And because that particular mitzvah takes place on the eighth day, that's why this bracha is fixed for us eighth in the Shemoneh Esrei. Now, many ask, and I'm sure everybody here has had this question, what does it mean, Rafa'inu Hashem, v'nei Rafa'i? It sounds like a tautology. Please heal us, and we will be healed. Isn't that exactly the same thing? Isn't that just the same thing twice? Please heal us, and we will be healed. So the Mefarshim bring a Zohar. The Zohar in Parashas Balak says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu on occasion will heal somebody through a doctor, through a shliach. On other occasions, he will heal them without any intervention of a doctor whatsoever. No shliach, no emtzoi. What's the difference? Says the Zohar, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu ever heals us through the hands of the doctor, there is no guarantee, even if he was successful, that illness won't come back. It might indeed return. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu heals us with no human intervention, then indeed it will not return. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu heals, it is forever. And therefore the Zohar says, that's what it means over here. Refo'enu Hashem v'nei Rofei means, please heal us. Who? Refo'enu Hashem. We are asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please can you heal us with no human intervention? Because that way, v'nei Rofei, we really will be healed, because we can be guaranteed that it won't come back. And why is that the case? Because whenever we have human intervention, whether it be in the issue of refuah, parnasa, whichever area of our life, there is of course always the danger that we run of thinking that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was not involved. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu was not involved. And that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu reminds us of that, and he says, well, just to make sure that you know HaKadosh Baruch Hu is running the show, you will see that this illness might well come back. But when HaKadosh Baruch Hu heals us, b'chvoidoi uba'atzmoi, that is a guarantee that the person will be healed forever and ever. It could be, maybe in light of what we said before, and I think this is a very important interpretation perhaps, maybe we can suggest a new pshat in what this means, Rafa'inu Hashem v'nei Rafa'i. We said before that ultimately when HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings about an illness, the purpose of that is for us to heal spiritually. HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not bring the illness just for the person to be in pain for no reason. Maybe therefore, what we're really davening for is as follows. Refa'enu Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you do your bit by healing us. But v'nei Rofei, let us heal as well. Will we have the Siyata Deshmaya to do the healing that we need to do? To really appreciate the chasadim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu showers us with. To appreciate what it was that brought about the illness in the first place. Refa'enu Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you as it were do your bit, v'nei Rofei, and let us do our bit too. You know, I just read last week the most moving thing. There was somebody who was in hospital in the United States of America suffering from the coronavirus, and ultimately having been extremely ill. He was on a ventilator, he needed assistance breathing for 2 or 3 weeks, and eventually he came around, recuperated, and was ready to leave the hospital. When he left the hospital, they presented him with an enormous bill. And they said, here, this is what you owe for the medical center that took care of you, tens of thousands of dollars. And the patient burst out crying. And so the doctor thought that the patient was crying because of this enormous choiv that he now has to pay. And the doctor said, well, don't worry, you don't have to pay it all at once. We can arrange a payment package for you. You can pay in installments. And the patient said, no, you don't understand. I'm not crying because of the enormity of the bill. But if you tell me that 2 weeks of assisted breathing costs me tens of thousands of dollars, what does that mean all of the years that I breathed without any assistance? How much was that worth? And did I really appreciate it? 2 weeks, you're telling me, cost tens of thousands of dollars? What does that mean about the rest of my life when I breathed freely without any assistance? How much was that truly worth? Did I really appreciate it? That's what it means. Rafa'inu Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should heal us. But that's not the end of the line. V'nei Rafa'i. We should heal ourselves. Because when illness strikes, then ultimately it's a wake-up call from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ki Sehiloseinu Ota. You are our hope. This is the most perhaps important part of this bracha. Every patient and every doctor always has to realize that ultimately there is only one doctor. The Rofei Chol Basar is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ki Siloseinu Ota. Not like that terrible line that we've all heard when the top doctor says to his patient, I've given up. I've tried everything, and from now on, only HaKadosh Baruch Hu can help. As if to say, until this stage, we could manage just fine without him. Chas v'shalom. Ki siloseinu ota. Whatever we involve in, when we approach the doctor, or when we approach somebody to daven for us, or for a brocha, or for a skula, whatever it is, we must never forget the ki siloseinu ota. We mentioned, not very long ago, in our Tzivah Vaad series, a wonderful story with the Tzamza Rebbe, the Heilige Divrei Chaim. The woman comes to the great Rebbe, and she says to him, Rebbe, give me a bracha, my son is terribly ill. And the Rebbe says, I'll give you a bracha, but on condition that you first give me 1,000 reinish. That was the currency at the time. 1,000 reinish, she says, why can't you give me a bracha for free? He says, I'll give you a bracha. I'll give you a bracha that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will help. But this is the condition. Only if you bring me 1,000 reinish. And she says, Rebbe, have mercy. I don't have that money. Please give me the bracha. No money, no bracha. And eventually she's so upset, she says to the Rebbe, finished. If the Rebbe won't help me, that's it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will help me. To which the Rebbe says, oh, that's what I wanted to hear. Now I can give you a bracha. As long as you are investing all your hopes in the Rebbe, as great as he may be, but you forgot that ki siloseinu ota, ultimately HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Rofe. Everybody else is just the medium. That is what we have to stress. And it was only when that woman said that if the Rebbe won't help, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will help, at that point the Rebbe can step in and try and be an intermediary on her behalf. We finish the bracha and we say, Kikeil Melech Rofe Ne'emon. We sometimes mistranslate. What does the word Ne'emon mean? We think it means HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the trusted doctor. Ne'emon actually doesn't translate as trusted. It means, Ne'emon means permanent, absolute. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is healing us in a permanent way. In this bracha, we talk about the Rofe of the Cholim. But what about in the bracha of Asher Yotzeh, where we say, Rofe Kol Basar. Rofe Kol Basar. I remember hearing many years ago by the late Rav Shimshon Pinkas, Zecher Tzadik Levracha. He said he once spoke to somebody who took an examination to become a pilot. And he passed the test. And Rav Pinkas congratulated him. Well done. He said, did you get 100% in the test? And the pilot laughed. He said, 100%? You can't get 100% on an aviation test. He said, look, I'll show you the cockpit. Look how many buttons and dials, and look how complex this operation is. If you get 70 or 80%, that's considered a pass. You can't get 100%. And Rav Pinkas said, and he said this in the shir, wow. However complicated and complex the cockpit is in the aeroplane, but the human body is a million times more complicated. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is ensuring that we are indeed 100% healthy and well on a constant basis. Kikeo Roife Ne'emon Ato. Ne'emon means on a constant basis. And even if somebody is lucky enough to not be ill and to feel just fine and well, the Gemara says that a person should daven not only that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should take away illness, but in also that he should
Egon, can you mute yourself, please?
That also that he shouldn't become ill in the first place. Somebody who's healthy and well should think, chas v'sholem, that this bracha is less relevant. To the contrary, it's more relevant. Chazal tell us that when a person is already ill, it needs more merits to be able to be healed from that illness. A person should always be davening, always be aware on a constant basis. On a constant basis, the Kodesh Baruch Hu is the Keil Roife Ne'emon on an Oifen Tzmidi on a day to day basis. The last line of this bracha is, we mention, Roife Choyle Amo Yisro. As we pointed out before, in the bracha of Asher Yotza, we don't say Roifei Choylei Amo Yisrael, we say Roifei Kol Basar. So I heard the most beautiful explanation also in the name of Rapinkus. Rapinkus says, you have the doctor who works in the Kupat Cholim, the general family doctor, and then you have your own private doctor. HaKadosh Baruch Hu acts, it's true, as the Roifei Kol Basar, the Roife working for the Kupat Cholim. But we have, Klal Yisrael have a special Hashkocha. We have our own private doctor, the Roife Chole Amo Yisrael. How is it that you can book an appointment with this private doctor? By davening this tefillah. And that way we are zoicha to this special Hashkocha, not only to the general Roife Kol Basar, but specifically to the Roife Chole Amo Yisrael. There is a special Hashkocha. Let me just finish with a remarkable story in which somebody came to the Heilige Chassam Sofer and he said to him, I've been diagnosed with a serious illness and the doctors have told me that statistically there's no hope for me. The Chassam Sofer said, don't worry, you'll be fine. What do you mean, don't worry, I'll be fine? But they've shown me the statistics. And according to all studies and surveys, there's no hope. And the Chassam Sofer said, all the polls and all these studies were taken by interviewing Goyim. A Yid is a different Metzius. HaKadosh Baruch Hu relates and heals a Jew in a different way. All those studies that you've been reading, they might be true. They're not relevant to a Jew. We have a special Reife. We have the Reife Chole Amoy Yisrael. May we indeed be Zeicha, that our tefillah should be heard. We shouldn't become ill. Anybody who ails should be Zeicha to a Refua Shalema. But ultimately, like we said, Rafa'enu is not enough. It's got to be the Neirofe. We do our part of the deal. We try to heal ourselves as well. We should only hear, if Hashem, the Surah Tavis.